Thank you, Cookie, for getting us ready this morning. We welcome you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ at Dallasburg Baptist Church. It's so excited to see everyone this morning, to have you gathered with us so we can be producers of worship for a holy, righteous God. We want to take a second this morning to take a look at our announcements there. So if you have your bulletin, break those out. So big news today. Today's the Dallasburg Open. So if you're golfing, if you're brave enough to go out there and put your skills on display for all of the church to see, be at the golf course at 1:30. That's when you guys are going to pick who the best player on your team is and then who the worst player on your team is. And you'll split up into groups and you'll go out there and you'll have a great time together. The rest of us show up at 2 o'clock. Right, there's going to be time of fellowship, there's going to be inflatables, there's going to be things to put your kids in and they bounce around and hopefully come back out with no broken bones. We're going to have all that over there as well. So please join us today for that. Once that's all over, we're going to have, there's going to be some food, we're going to have a little cookout time, there's going to be a little bit, we'll probably maybe do a song or two, we'll get Raphael to bring his guitar and maybe do a song or two for us, and then there'll be a message as well. So we have something going on this afternoon. Today is the last Sunday for the Eliza brought us offering. After we get this all finished, I'll have a final answer for you from Martha of how much you raised. Steve has a video for us to watch for the Eliza brought us, just to give you an idea of what's going on with that mission. Yes. Sorry, Steve. Excellent. Thank you, Steve. You know, one of the things that we try to focus on here at Dallasburg is we try to focus on local and then a larger national and then international. And Eliza brought us his focus specifically on Kentucky. And so that's why we've had these videos showing you different ministry opportunities that you can see when you give your money, when you give it to the Eliza Brothers offering, you can see where that money goes. And the lady, and I think she's been featured in almost every one of our videos, is that she is going to be, and you'll see the next thing down there, she's going to be the guest speaker at the quarterly fall WMU meeting. So if you'd like to go and hear her speak and learn more about what the Eliza Broadus offering is all about, you have an opportunity October 2nd at 10:30 at New Liberty Baptist Church, a little bit ways that way, and you can learn more about that. We also have there, you know, we're getting close to time to where we're appointing new Sunday school teachers, new Sunday school classes if needs be. And so you'll see there is a need for the Legacy Builder Sunday school class. They are looking for someone who might be interested in being the leader / teacher of that class. If you are interested in that, please join them October 3rd, I believe. Is that next Sunday? Yes, that next Sunday? Yeah, at 9:30, and maybe you guys can have a conversation and discuss that. I want to give you a quick update. We have some pictures from the Dining with Dignity block party yesterday. It was a great time. I believe Cindy had told me that we served 154 hot dogs. So probably not that many people, because some of them were pretty smart and came back for seconds. But probably well over 100 people were served yesterday, were treated with respect. We had some face painting. You see some face painting happening there. Look at Lori there. She did a great job on that. Had some face painting and the nails. We had nails that were polished. And you could really see in many of them, it was almost, did you guys do any men's nails? No? Okay, almost all female. So in the females' nails that were polished, you could just see how much it meant to them, and how much they appreciated being respected and had some time to have conversations. I know Mandy spent a lot of time in conversations with lots of people and had shared a lot of the truth with them. And really what these people need is they just need to be heard. They just want to be seen. You know, that's one of the things I think I've shared this before, is that you can, one of the ways you can tell someone who's not from a larger city is how they view homeless people, right? People from the city don't see them. They've learned, they've trained themselves, don't look, don't see that, just move forward, act like they don't exist. I don't believe that's biblical. I just don't believe it is. And so when we go there and we speak with them and we let them be seen, you can see the effect it has on them. It also helps a lot to put a really good meal in their stomach. That helps a lot too, right? But it was a really good time of doing, of sharing and being there with one another. I was at 20 people, is that what we had, Cindy? Is that what we came up with? 21. We had 21 members of Dallasburg who showed up to help and sweated over grills and put hamburgers and painted nails and sang and did tambourines. They even let Molly shake a tambourine for a little while. And so just a really good opportunity for us as brothers and sisters of Christ to come together to serve. Now, it was a great experience. I was very blessed to be part of it. But one of the things that spoke a lot to me is afterwards we went to grab something to eat, and in line, Molly just hopped right in line with Bobby, right? Like Bobby was going to buy her meal for her. She didn't think twice about it, right? And so Melissa's like, hey, you got to come back here. Bobby's not buying your meal for you. But the truth is what that taught to me is that we need to see each other as family. We need to see each other that way. One of the main ways we can grow in seeing one another that way is to go live on mission together, to go sweat together, to go spend time with one another, to go and serve the Lord and His people together. That's what we need to be like, not as individuals, but as a church family. It's a really good opportunity. Speaking of that, you'll see if you weren't able to be there for this block party, guess what? We got another one coming up. October 10th. Down at Eagle Creek Resort, we're going to have a block party down there, a very similar situation. We're going to try to meet both the spiritual, physical needs of people. We're looking for people to come and serve alongside of us, to have gospel conversations, and just really just to be there. Just, I mean, we'll give you, Cindy will give you a job, right, Cindy? You'll assign them something. But really just to be there to minister to those people. You'll also see is that one of the ways that we're going to try to meet some physical needs for those kids is that we're going to be taking up clothes. Those clothes can be deposited in the room back there beside the kitchen. Those are going to be put together in outfits. And so outfits can be handed out to kids, and I think all the way through high school. Was that what the plan was, Melissa? Yeah, all the way through high school. So guys, be on the lookout. Your blue jeans might disappear if your wife goes and digs through your closet and takes your blue jeans. You'll know what happened, all right? So please, I would encourage you to pray, to think about that. Really just go to the Lord and see what he's laid on your heart and how you should serve and what he wants you to do in that, right? You'll also see October 17th, we're going to be having a fellowship meal for Raphael and Ruby. The social committee is planning that to welcome them to our church and their service, so we're super excited about them. Look at that picture. I mean, that's a good picture right there. So we're looking forward. I was going to say something funny. It's like, that's not appropriate. Too soon. It'll take a while. But we're looking forward to serving alongside of them, and so we're super excited about that. And then the last thing you see there, and this is something that I would encourage you to pray about, we meet every Wednesday night, and so I have a little bit more information than maybe some of you on this, but Cindy and Teresa have been going and serving with the ARC, that's in the old hospital up in town, the Addiction Recovery Care. If you're looking to partner with that, Cindy would love to have a conversation with you and get you involved in that. These are women that are in the facility. They're going through rehab, and they need the Lord just like we all do, and those opportunities present themselves to you. One of the things, and I share this quite often, and I'm very proud and very blessed by this church, is that we have a full page of activities and things going on. That's a good example. We never want to just be busy for being busy, but all of these events are allowing us to interact with people and speak truth in their life and to serve them, but most importantly, serve the Lord. So I'm so thankful for that in the church. I speak with other pastors and I look at their bulletins, and there's a lot of white spaces in their bulletins, right? There's a lot of things that they just can't do because their members aren't active, their members aren't desiring that, and I pray that never becomes us at Dallasburg. It's very important that we do these things, and so we're always looking for those opportunities. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray for us, then we're going to have some music to prepare our hearts for worship, and we will move forward from there. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much this morning. We pray that we were able to gather this morning in our Sunday school classes, set aside the distractions and the frustrations of the days and the weeks that have occurred before this, and really focus on you. We're so thankful for the truth that we learned this morning, that, Lord, we need to be living right now as victorious individuals in your family because you have already overcome the world. It's really easy to look around and have doubts about that and be like, well, man, I don't feel like a victor. And so that's why you have to go to God's word. That's why you have to suppress the way your heart is misleading you with these feelings and focus on the truth of the Lord. And so I pray that we can do that this morning. I pray that everything we do be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Morning. We're officially, or at least this morning, we're a four-person band instead of just a three, the usual three. So we'll see. We're going to vote on this part of his job after this, too, and we'll just let you guys know. We'll see.
Now I got nervous. No.
It's great. It's going to be fun. Go ahead, Chris.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the floodgate that all may go in. Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood. Every believer, the promise of the violence defender who truly believed that moment from Jesus a pardon received. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our victory when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things. Savior, I felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. Oh, I've been washed by the blood. I've been healed by the Savior. I felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to prison. I've worn shackles and chains. I've been freed and forgiven. I'm not going back, I'll never be the same. So I sing, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. Oh, my hope is yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood.
Amen, amen. Psalm 66, verses 16 through 17 says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he's done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue." Mm-hmm. I got to change up here. I don't have a, you know, last week Michael was hiding my picks and goofing around and stuff, and I don't have that excuse anymore to not be.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back and praise. Though the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Sing that again. Give and take away. You give and take away. But my heart will choose. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Amen.
out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow. Earth has no sorrow. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken hearted, let a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven. Lay down your burden, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wonder welcome home, you're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures, 'cause earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. Let's lay it down. Lay down your burden. Lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your faith. Oh, wonder welcome home. You're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. Come as you are. Fall in His arms. Come as you are. There's joy for the morning, oh sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. So lay down your burden, lay down your shame. Oh, lift up your face. Oh, wonder welcome home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt. Lay down your heart. Come as you are. Come as you are. Father, we love you, and we thank you for that invitation. God, we thank you that you meet us right where we're at, all broken and full of shame and needing your love and your redemption and your grace. God, that's the only way to come to you. God, as we sit down together as a family and dig into your word, open our hearts, soften our hearts. God, give us the strength and the inspiration that we need to continue on through the week. Encourage us in our growth. Encourage us in our unity. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
see it. Are you going to step over here? Let's step over here, okay?
Psalm 66, 18 through 20. If I have cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or held his love from me.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. We just thank you for this time of worship that we've had this morning, Lord. I just pray that our hearts full of music and joy were lifted correctly under you, Lord. As we come to this time of offering, I just pray that the money that we receive, Lord, that we will be obedient with it and use it for the ongoing work of your kingdom. We lift up Michael as he brings today's message, Lord. Just speak through him, but open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to what you would have to say through him, that we would apply your word to our daily walk and our everyday lives. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
All right, the kids are be dismissed to children's church. Very good. You know, one of the things is that I went to a recent service, and a pastor who had been a pastor for many, many years said he'd seen a lot of things in his days of ministry, but he'd never seen someone play a box before. And so we can all say this morning we got to see someone play a box. So, Raphael, thank you for that. I'm sure that thing, what's it called?
A cajon.
We're just going with box. Okay, we'll go with box. No. But thank you for that. Thank you for doing that. One of the things that I wanted to mention this morning is not only how blessed we are to get to gather into the house of the Lord this morning, but just how thankful we are for the love that we all have for one another. And that's something that I've experienced a lot this week, and I've gone to a couple different services for remembrance of people's lives, and it really impresses upon you the importance of family. It impresses upon you the lack of importance of stuff, right? Stuff is not nearly as important as we think it is. One of the things I love to quote, and I don't remember who told me this, if so, I would give them credit, is that God gave us people to love and things to use. But unfortunately, so many times we get that exactly backwards. We begin loving our things and using people. And so it's unfortunate that it takes a memorial service to have that impressed upon you again. And so it's just been a huge reminder for me this week, and I wanted to just share that with you all to maybe encourage you to think on that, to let that press into you, read God's word, let that truth be spoken to you of how important it is to love one another, right? Why? Because he first loved us. Just think about that, right? Side note, that's got absolutely nothing to do with what we're going to be talking about today in Scripture. I just wanted to share that. In reality, it has a lot to do with what we're going to be talking about. But we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 5. Now, this is, if you read the title there, sometimes it makes men a little nervous when we're going to talk about these things, but that's okay. We'll get through it. What we're going to be talking about today is kind of a summary, right, of what's happened so far in Joshua. And you're like, well, I thought that's the last time we talked about this was kind of a summary. So I just wanted to spend a little bit of more time here before we make, this is a big turning point in Joshua. What just happened in Joshua 4 is a massive turning point. And 5 is also kind of looking back on what God has done for the nation here. And I think it's very valuable for us to take a look at that as well. What we're going to do first is we're going to read Joshua chapter 5. Now, Steve, I messed up for the bulletin, and I messed up for that. I'm going to read 5, 1 through 9. That is my mistake, not Steve's or Crystal's. I messed that up. So God's word says this. As soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, their hearts melted, and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gabbath, Haraloth. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way in the wilderness after they had not come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children whom he raised up in their place that Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. When the circumcising of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And so the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth that we find in your word. We thank you for the love that just exudes from your word. Of all the books of the Bible, just the truth of your son Christ, we thank you for that. Lord, as we gather here today, Lord, we pray that we're able to focus and to listen, to understand what your word says for us, and so we can then take what you have done and apply it to our daily walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so quick summary. God, and I had told you this before, if we were writing a description of Joshua, one of the mega themes of Joshua is that God is always true to his word. Right? Even though it may have taken 700, 800-ish, I always put ish on dates in the Bible because when I stand in front of the Lord one day and account for all this, I'm like, hey man, I put ish on it, so I didn't say it was exactly 700 years, right? And so a long time, God has promised this land of milk and honey to his people. And now it's come true, right? The miracle has happened. The ark has gone into the Jordan River. The water, as it says in Scripture, rose up in a huge heap. And the men and women, totaling approximately 3 million people, walk across, right? On dry soil, right? The riverbed is not muddy. They walk across. It's a miracle. Just as on the level of the Red Sea, the same level. And now they're on the other side of the river. We discussed last time we had services, we discussed the purpose of the memorial stones and why they were important. And now they have to prepare themselves again spiritually to now receive the blessing that God has given them. And so that's one of the things we're going to be talking about today, is what is our responsibility to spiritually prepare ourselves to receive what God has done for us, right? And so what are the first thing that we want to talk about today? Is that we in our lives are not physically going to have to cross Jordan rivers, right? We don't have to cross Jordan rivers. Christ is not calling us to do that. But what we see here is this represents, this is a symbol of what we have to do in our life. It represents us passing from our old life of sin and trespasses into a new life, right? A new life focused on holiness and righteousness. Now, as we talk about this, this probably sounds very familiar to you, right, Brad? What does this sound like? This sounds like when you are restored, when you come into right relationship with Christ, and that's what this represents for us. One of the things that I wanted to talk about with us today is that, so we talk about the rite of circumcision. We'll get into that a little bit later about the Abrahamic covenant. We'll discuss that a little bit at the very end there. But right now, what I wanted to discuss for you is to answer a question that you probably didn't have at all. Is that why weren't the second generation circumcised? Why? And also, you don't see this in Scripture. Scripture is silent to this, but we learn this from other places in Scripture, is that why didn't the Jewish nation celebrate all their festivals? Why didn't they do their traditions while they were in the wilderness? Well, it has for a very important reason, and it has a very applicable point to us here today. So, the Israelites are wandering in the desert, right? We saw that in Scripture, right? God loves them so much. What has God done for them? He has allowed manna, right, to fall from the sky so they don't have any other, they don't need for any other thing. He is meeting all of their needs. But the concern with is that if the Israelite leaders are then teaching them, they're like, hey, we need to celebrate the Passover, or we need to celebrate Yom Kippur, or we need to celebrate any of these other festivals that, and that's really the two that I can pronounce. We don't want to celebrate, we're not celebrating any of these other reasons. Why didn't they do that when they were in the wilderness, right? It's something that we need to be aware of and be careful of today with our young people. They didn't celebrate those things in the wilderness is because to their second generation, it didn't seem so great. Right? They're wandering. They're essentially walking in circles for many, many years. Right? The stiff-necked people, the stubborn people, they are not adhering to what God has told them. And we see in Scripture that God, they did this so poorly that God told them, say, hey, man, guess what? You don't get to go. You are never going to see the promised land because of your actions. And so basically what the leaders understand is that we don't want to paint this as good as it gets, right? Manna falling from the sky is amazing. It is a miracle, no doubt about it. But after a while, eating the same thing every day, it gets a little old, right? It doesn't seem as great as it should. And so the point I'm trying to make is that, church, and you've heard me talk about this before, you need to be very careful with the young people in your life and your brothers and sisters in your life. Don't come to church, right? The church. Don't gather as the church. Come to this building and act one way. Don't go upstairs or downstairs or wherever your Sunday school class meets. Don't go and sit there and act a certain way, but then when you get to lunch, you're like, I can't believe what Bobby had on today. Can you believe? I'm just joking, Bobby. I think you look great. But you're like, I can't believe he wore that. I can't believe he did that, right? You're teaching your kids to act one way, but then do something else when you think God doesn't see you. Quick note, God saw that. God sees that. And so just like the Israelites didn't celebrate these, they didn't do the rite of circumcision, they didn't celebrate all of their Jewish festivals and their holidays like they would have done before, it's because they were telling them, we know something better is coming, right? And so something that you just be very, very, very Can I say one more? Very conscious of this. Do not teach your family and your kids to be a hypocrite. Don't do it. Right? So much behavior is learned behavior. You just have to be aware of it. Let's look at some things here. And so we're talking about how we have to put the old man to death. We see this in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. I think I have this. Yeah. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of the sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. And so we see this symbolism. We see what Paul is writing here to us. It's the same thing all the way back we have here in Joshua, is that there is a clear symbolism of that you have to move away. You have to move away from your sinful self. I just had an opportunity to speak with someone recently who was a brother in Christ, and he was talking about the radical transformation that he had seen in one of his brothers. And I was like, that's a really good thing. That's exactly what Scripture is talking about here. Scripture is talking about making us a new creation. We should look completely different. When I sit down and I talk to someone about whether it's time for them to be baptized, right? That's one of the key things that I discuss, is that you can have the head knowledge, right? You can understand, you can answer the questions correctly, but do I and your family, do we see a radical transformation in your life? Have you put to death the old person and put on the new person of Christ, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. I put an extra syllable in there. Disobedience, right? And so that's one of the things that I want you to think about, and I think that's one of the things that we see here in Joshua chapter 5 that is telling us, is that you have to physically move past your old sinful self. Now, in that scripture there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, for every one of us, I am very confident that's a little bit of your testimony, right? You were disobedient. You were running hard. You were kicking hard against the goads, as it says in Scripture, right? You were working hard not to be obedient, right? And that's the one of the things that should amaze you about God, is even in those acts of disobedience, God still loved you. He still wanted you to, you know, to cross a Jordan River, to put the old self to death, to move forward. This is one of the reasons Brad's Sunday School class is called New Creations. It's because that's what Scripture calls us to be. We are new creations. We put on something new. We should look radically different. What I would like to give you before we move on to the second point there is this, is that this is a question to ask yourself, right? Think of yourself. Think of yourself pre your salvation, and think of yourself post your salvation. Do you look radically different? Are your thoughts radically different? Are your desires radically different? Is your speech radically different? If your answer is no to any of those, I would encourage you to pray and think about that a lot. That's something that's very, very important to you. Scripture is super, super clear. I heard Cindy say, she's downstairs with our children, is that I did a whole sermon series on 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Our Sunday school material is on 1st John again. She goes, we really should be experts in 1st John by the time this is all over, right? This is one of the mega themes of 1st John. As he's giving the church, as he's giving them test, compare yourself to this standard, and how do you look? Do you look different or do you look the same? We see in that scripture, if your life looks more like the world, it's something you should be concerned with. It's something I should be concerned with. I would like to have a conversation with you. If your life is looking more and more like Christ every day in the standard that Christ gives us, that's a great sign for you. That's what you should desire. That's what I desire for you. That's what you should desire for yourself, right? And so when we cross something, when we leave something behind, what does that mean? That means we put on something new. And so what we see in the second point here is that as we cross these Jordan rivers, right, we must make a new beginning. We must begin a new life in Christ, a life based in what? Based in holiness, righteousness, and purity. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so I always tell people, I was like, if you all think that I get together with Kirk and Crystal and Cookie and Raphael there, and we work these songs out before a message, you are giving me way too much credit on being organized, right? And so, but I'm always amazed at how the songs we sing help speak some truth in our lives for the message of that day. And what we see in that set of scripture, and I love to share this with people, I love to see people get excited when they hear this, is God loves you so much, he will meet you right where you are. Right where you are. But there's an extra point to that. God loves you so much, he will not leave you there. He will not leave you in that state. He begins the process of sanctification. He begins the process of changing you more into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And you should desire that. What comes along with that, JT? Well, what comes along with that is a little bit of conviction. There's going to be some days you're like, man, I have messed this up. How bad am I at this, right? Those days are going to come. And you're going to want to have a tendency to pull away from that and be like, every time I go to Sunday school or I go to church, I feel bad about something, right? No, what you should see is what that is. That is an amazing blessing for your life, because as 1 John helps us understand, that's a true test that you know the Lord because you feel the conviction. You feel the indwelling of the Spirit as it's trying to mold you and shape you into the image of Jesus Christ. You should be overexcited about that, that this proves to me how much God loves me, because God is doing his best to conform me into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. You should fall down on your knees and be so thankful for when that occurs. Is that easy for us to do? No. Most of us do not enjoy having our problems and our faults pointed out to us. I for sure don't, right? But we should be overjoyed with that, because it is just another hard, hard example of how much God loves you, right? One of the things I also love to share this with people, and it took me a long time. I'm embarrassed to admit in my sanctification process how long it took me to understand this fact. God does not spend the majority of the Bible restricting me from things. This book is very freeing. The restrictions that God does give us in Scripture is done not because he's trying to be a buzzkill, not because he doesn't want us to have fun. It's the exact opposite. He loves us and wants to protect us. And so what I like to tell people is oftentimes in Scripture, God sets up guardrails for us, right? You guys, you know, you drive around here just like I do. You've been on some of these roads that are so tight that you can kind of feel like you can reach around and touch the back of your car as you go around a curve, right? And you see those guardrails. And what's almost on every guardrail you see in Kentucky? Black marks. Dents, yeah, dents. Black marks. Because guess what? Because somebody's gotten to the side of one of them, right? They needed that guardrail to kind of shoot them and help keep them back on the road. That's the way when God gives us restrictions in Scripture, that's what they are. They're guardrails to try to keep you on the center of his righteousness, of his holiness, and his purity. Now, unfortunately, if you go around sometimes, what do you see the guardrail? You see where someone shot straight through. Like they hit that guardrail at a 90-degree angle, and it could not contain them. Unfortunately, that happens in people's lives too. It may be a testimony in your life, right? If that has occurred and if that's happened, the great thing is God wants to get you back on the road. He wants to get you back up on the road and moving again, and you should be thankful for that, right? Luke, my personal favorite gospel, Luke chapter 1, verse 73 through 75, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, and holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And so let's discuss this just for a second. What does this holiness and righteousness mean for us, right? And so you have to be careful with this, is because can we as sinful people ever be perfectly holy on this side of glory? No. You cannot, because of your sin nature. But what do you have to strive after every day? You have to be trying to grow in that every day, right? And so you're like, well, I know what's coming next. And I was like, well, thank God you remembered, right? Because we've talked about this. One of the things, the practical applications to helping you with your holiness, is to be aware of what you put into your brain, right? Be aware of the stuff you read, right? Be aware of the music you listen to. Be aware of the conversations you have. Be aware. This is the one for me. Be very aware of the movies you enjoy watching, right? For the longest part of my life, I was like, man, I enjoy good acting. I enjoy good dialogue. I enjoy these stories. It's not affecting me until I realized the type of movies that I love. The type of movies I love are revenge movies. I love when somebody gets even. For the longest part of my life, my favorite movie was The Outlaw Josie Wales. I am not bad-mouthing Outlaw Josie Wales. I still enjoy that movie when it comes on. But that movie, it's a tale of revenge. And I had to ask myself, why do I enjoy that movie so much? It's because he's getting even. And what's that pointing towards in me? It's pointing towards an issue I have with anger, right? It's pointing to the obvious fact that I want to take what's God's responsibility into my own hands. And I want to deal out justice. The problem with this is this. I'm not perfectly holy. We've already discussed that. I am not righteous enough to deal out justice. Only God can do that. And so I have to have faith in his timing. I have to have faith in what he's going to do to set things correct. And in those, I'm to also worship and glorify him. And so if you think you're having a problem with your holiness, side note, you are. If you're having a problem with your holiness, take a look at what you're consuming. Take a look of what you're putting into your head. It will change you, right? When I quit reading certain books, and they're not the kind of books that you guys be like, I can't believe a pastor ever read those. That's not those type of books. It was just regular fiction. When I stopped reading those books, it helped me grow. It helped me grow in the knowledge of the Lord. It helped me move forward and not thinking about certain things. I'm telling you, it will help with your holiness. Righteousness, right? We desire righteousness. We want to be more righteous, right? How do we do that? The main way we do that is we pray. We pray. We read Scripture. We have a desire. One of the things, and I love this. This is what my sister in Christ, Letha Lowe, she put this. She beat this into my head when I was her Sunday school teacher, and I'm so thankful for it. Is her favorite word was intentionality, right? I think about it all the time. I think about that word. If you desire righteousness, Scripture is super clear. You should. So when I say if you should, right? When you desire this righteousness, are you being intentional in your actions? Are you really thinking about, is that action righteous, yes or no? Right? Was it righteous for us to go and serve people at a block party yesterday? Absolutely. Was it righteous what unfortunately some people, of course not you all because you're at church today, right? I'm just joking. But is it righteous what a lot of people did last night? Probably not if it doesn't line up with God's word. And so that's one of the things we have to be understanding is we have to intentionally be searching after righteousness. We have to be intentionally searching after holiness. Unfortunately, you live in a sinful, fallen world where as a sinful person, this isn't going to come natural to you. You're just not going to wake up, spring out of bed one day and be like, got it, 99% holy. I'm ready to rock and roll. That is not going to happen for you. It's not. I wish I could stand up here this morning and say, Simon, it's coming. Don't you worry. One day you're going to wake up and you're going to be ready to rock and roll and it's going to be just right for you. It won't. It won't. Because unfortunately, you're born underneath a sin curse, right? And the world speaks to you and the world draws you. I'm confident I'm not the only one who feels the draw of the world at different times in their life. I feel it. I feel it drawing to my sin nature. But I know what I have to do is I have to run back to God's righteousness and God's holiness. And I have to be intentional in what I do with my life in that, right? And so what do we want to look at here in the third point here, right, as we make the final point, and this is the one that makes, you know, guys a little squeamish, is we want to talk about why is there so much discussion of circumcision here, right? What is this talking about? What is the purpose of this? And so to fully really get an understanding of why this is so important, we have to go back in Genesis, right? We have to rewind the clock a little bit, a couple hundreds and hundreds of years, right? And we have to go back to when Abraham and God formed a covenant with one another. And that was the sign of that covenant was circumcision of the males, right? And so the reason, just again, most of you probably don't need this, but just to make sure, let's touch base on the Abrahamic covenant, right? And so what that means is that when God came to Abraham, he said, I am going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you offspring that will rival the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the ground. He was going to make a great nation from them. And we see out of that great nation, we see Christ rose out of that great nation. We see David. We have all of these heroes of Scripture rose out of that nation, right, because of that covenant. And so it was an outward symbol of being a member of God's family, right? And so what we have to understand today is that what that represents, what that circumcision represents, is that what cutting away the sins of our flesh and being identified as a follower of God. But what's super important for us to understand with this is that we love something that's easy. I'm sure I'm not the only person who likes things that are easy. I like when things work. I like when things, when I put things together, I'm like, believe it or not, I used all the bolts and screws. They didn't send me any extras. Side note, Mike, they never send extras. That's because I put something together wrong, right? I'm very happy when things work and go together. But the reality is this. God never meant for it to be this easy. For it just to be a symbol. To just go in there and do this act one time. You're like, I'm covered. I identify with the Jewish race now. I'm different, right? No, all the way back, right? Way back in Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskins of your heart, right? And be no longer stubborn. Oh, I need that one. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe. What does God mean when he's talking about this? He's talking about this. It's not just as easy as doing one act and being like, all right, I'm squared away, I'm good to go. No, this is about a heart condition, right? And so sometimes when you read Scripture, I've heard people say, man, I have zero problem with the New Testament. I'm good to go, man. Let's rock and roll. But in the Old Testament, like, what are we even talking about? All the way back in Deuteronomy, right? We're back in the Pentateuch, right? This is old, old school. When we're back there, even in there, you see God's love. You see God discussing. It's a heart condition. We have a heart condition. We need to be focused on him. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 through 29. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, right? So this is Paul calling out the Jews. He's saying, hey, man, you might physically look like a Jew, but, man, unless you have your heart squared away, you don't have this under control, right? Where did I leave off? One outwardly. Nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not the letter. What we see here in Scripture and what Paul and Moses and all of these men of the Bible are teaching us, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, what they're teaching us is this is a heart condition. We have to deal with our heart. And so if our hearts are set upon the world, if our hearts are set upon unholy thoughts, if we could care less about sanctification, yeah, if we truly are living like a hypocrite, and I pray this is no one here or no one at home today on Facebook. I pray this is no one. My fear is that it's probably some of us, right? If you're living that way, you have to really question, is your heart in the right place? Have you fully committed to Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you doing the best you can to be living in right relationship with God? If you can't answer yes for those, you're exactly what Paul is talking about there. You might be coming to church and sitting here, but you're not living your life as if you were a Christian, right? One of the things, I like to use this analogy, is that, you know, I've been in an airplane a couple times. It doesn't mean I can fly, right? It doesn't make me a pilot. I'm sitting there. I paid for my seat. I got my seatbelt on. When's the peanuts handing out? I'm interested in the peanuts, right? That doesn't mean I can fly. The fact is this, and this is a hard fact, and this has caused some drama in my life. Just simply because you're sitting here today, just simply because back there in the file cabinet, your name is on a roll, and you're a member of Dallasburg Baptist Church, it does not mean you're saved. It does not mean your salvation is assured. And that's something you need to always be thinking about. Right? There's a reason we see this continuity through Scripture, right? Every book of the Bible is about Christ. Every book of the Bible is trying to give you the tools to look inward and to see, where am I at with the Lord? Because if there's anything I've learned in the last week, you know, never know when the Lord's going to call you home. You don't know. Only God knows that, right? I've talked to people. I've shared the gospel with people, and they're like, you know what, Michael? Not ready right now. But when it gets close, I'll be ready. And what I always tell them, I was like, brother, you know how many people are in hell right now that said that same thing? That thought they would know when they were ready? That thought they would be like, all right, man, I'm on my deathbed. I'm going to make it right now. It's just a very unbiblical thought process. For no other reason, because it's not true to what God has called you to. But secondary, is you're missing out on so many blessings of the world. I can't tell you, and JT and I have talked about this, and I've talked about this with other people. I can't tell you how blessed I was yesterday to go up there and hang out, right? And sweat over some hamburgers and get mad at hot dog buns that weren't split to be open. How does that happen? But anyway, right, just up there, just how blessed I was to go and do that. It doesn't make sense when you explain it to the world. How can I go and output energy and go up there and have to work and put off other things that I want to do or need to do? How do I go and do that, but yet I leave more blessed with more energy? How does that work? My answer is that because it's the way God's designed us, right? And so what I encourage you to think about is that, are you experiencing in that life? Are you experiencing that? Are you experiencing a desire for righteousness? Are you experiencing a desire for holiness? Are you experiencing a desire to go and be with God's people, to serve them, but most importantly, serve a holy, righteous God? Are you desiring that, right? Is your heart in the right place? And in the right place, I don't mean in your chest. If it wasn't, you probably wouldn't be here. But is your heart in the right place focused on Jesus Christ? Right? That's what Deuteronomy is talking about. That's what Joshua's talking about. That's what Paul is talking about. He's saying you just can't act like it. You have to do it. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth. I thank you for the challenge it gives us to desire righteousness, to desire holiness. Lord, I'm thankful for the standard that we've been given in Jesus Christ. Even though at times I feel like it's a standard that is so high it's unattainable, but then I read and I'm like, that is right, and it should be. That's why you're a God and I'm not. But I do understand that there should be a desire and there should be a process of me getting more like you. And what I pray for each and every one of us here today at home and here at the building with us gathered, is that we grow every day. We take a step closer to you every day. We loosen our grip on the world. Sin continues to become less and less a problem in our lives as we focus more and more on you. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full at his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Thank you all. One of the things, and I got sidetracked, Raphael and Ruby, when I saw your amazing picture, is I wanted to remind you all, remember, you just have to remember two names, Raphael and Ruby. It's pretty straightforward. They have to, the picture's back. We have to remember, they have to try to remember all of your names. So please take time to introduce yourself to them more than once. It's going to take more than once for them to remember your names, right? And that's okay. We remember last week we had a whole sermon on remembrance. This in practice. It's going to take more than that. But please introduce yourself to them. Be patient as they learn your names. And just be thankful that we have called them to our church, right? Just really, I'm very thankful for that. One of the things I want to remind you of is that we have another example today for some fellowship with one another. I encourage you to come out. Just be like me. Just come out and hang out, because I'm not going to embarrass anybody with my golfing skills. But we're just going to come out and hang out with one another. Just so blessed to have you out with us here today. It is hard for me to put into words how excited I am and how much I love seeing you all every Sunday. It's just an amazing thing. I desire it, and I can't look forward to it enough. Brad's got one more thing. Yes. Gotcha. Just a side note, Brad, that looked like you were trying to blow me a kiss at first, and I'm like, I love you, but I don't, when I said I loved you, that threw me off there just for a second. That threw me for a loop. All right. Mike, will you close us in prayer, please? Thank you.